podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hello, how are you? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson. We call him Gus, and Clint Scott. We don't call him. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. We'll have Rangers baseball coverage for you tonight as they take on the Los Angeles Angels. First pitch from Globe Life Field is at 7:05. Rangers have slipped into fourth place in the AL West division standings. They're a half game behind the Angels. So a victory tonight would vault them back into third place here in late September. Gus, how you going?
I'm good. I was hoping that the Angels series would give us Josh Young versus Ohtani, but that's not on the slate, at least as the starting pitchers are scheduled. So, I mean, my day's not ruined by that information, but it would have been fun to kind of peek in on
sure.
that. Because really what I'd like to do is go, hey, Josh, you know, if I see him later this fall, hey, Josh, what was it like to face Ohtani? You know, let me be a fanboy for a minute.
We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Bobby Hot Dogs had this primed and ready to go. He says, Aaron, would you mind suggesting that El Jefe switch to Fantasy Bachelorette? Since he's not very good at fantasy football. Is there such a thing as Fantasy Bachelorette?
I am unaware.
It's not offered by Yahoo or ESPN, I can tell you that.
That is a genre completely out of my...
I think that...
I know you can bet on it, right?
Sure.
Like, so I would... Maybe? Like, depending on if they make it through a week, you get a point or something?
I think this is probably an indication that our friend El Jefe was the loser this past weekend in the Listener League, the Listener Fantasy League, and so I assume he's going to get just crushed here. Yeah, I mean, apparently, on the chat line today. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, you may not call him, but has Clint texted you cat pics recently? He has not. No. Which is good.
You guys want some?
Nope.
I'm good.
Nope, yep. Not at good. All.
Thanks.
What about dogs?
What about them?
You want dog pics?
No, yeah, I have plenty too. Of dog pics.
Yeah. Aaron's been blowing Gus and I up with his pig pics, actually.
Nope.
That little
piggy
running
just,
around.
He's just getting ready for the...
Definitely have not.
He's just prepping for the inevitable. Trying to come to grips with it.
You're probably right.
You guys have a name picked out?
She, the Mrs. D will... I mean, routinely is probably overstating it. It's not unusual for her to pop into the office, you know, the home office, and go, hey, I thought of a great name for the pig that we're going to get. You know, Petunia or Earl or... You
Bacon know, Bits.
You know,
New something. Hampshire.
Oh, nice.
You've Duroc. You've saved that one.
He's
like,
yeah,
you've had that in the
he's
can.
He's naming hog varieties, right? Duroc and Hampshire and... Right? Am I wrong about that?
I was going with ham. I forgot
Hampshire
was a pig.
Oh, all right. Am I right? I'm about Hampshire might be like something else. I don't know. I know Duroc is a breed of porcine.
What are the black and white pigs? My grandma loved those.
Like for dinner or as pets?
No, like they're it's like a
yeah.
They usually have them all on the same farm, and they're like black head, white middle, black butt. Yeah.
Oreo.
Yes.
That's
Oreo
it.
Pig.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because she keeps on telling me that, no, you can get a micro mini pig and they stay really small, and I just don't believe her.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
I don't think that that's true. I think that they grow and get really big.
Why are they called a micro mini pig? Wouldn't it just be a micro pig?
Well, no, I think it's like a super small one. Maybe like a teacup poodle.
So mini pig isn't good enough to, it really isn't an apt description enough. We need to go micro mini, because over here we've got micro pigs. And we need a mini micro.
Because I think even like
this one's a pig that's small. This one's small and redundant.
Because like even a small pig is gigantic compared to like a dog.
Right.
Right. You know. And so I think, yeah. Anyways, it's not going to happen. So it doesn't matter. This is the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Oreo pig weed strain. I don't know if this collection of words strung together in this order mean anything, but I'm going to read it anyways because someone took the time to send it. Duroc, Hampshireite, Chester White, Poland, China Spot.
There you go. We had it's two like, of them, Duroc and Hampshire.
That's like World War II when like Radio Free Europe would broadcast code words to guerrilla fighters in France. In between songs, they would send stuff like that. Just kind of, random things.
Pig breeds.
Raise your hand if you're anticipating that in the first segment.
Of course, the Red Raiders will host Texas this weekend. Probably the last time you will see the Longhorns in Lubbock as a conference opponent. Tech is about a 4-point underdog or so. Are you apprehensive about this game? Are you excited about this game? Are you
I'm excited.
Dreading this game? What's the emotional state like, Gus?
My emotional state's pretty good coming off of I think it's a good spot to be coming back home. Game listed as a sellout, by the way, in the last couple of hours. So if you're looking for tickets now,
and there was no doubt, really.
Secondary. Yeah, no, sure. But it's happened. And they're asking us to wear red. It's a red out. Red out? Is that what we call it?
Okay. Although it would be way cooler if it was Red Dawn.
Oh,
Wolverines.
Nice. Yeah, it could be 11 o'clock kick. You could do that.
True.
But since it's 2:30, it's just we're asking us to wear red. But I don't know. I think having in many respects beaten themselves this past weekend, more turnovers, this and that, and some things that they feel like they could have done better. Being a 4 or 5 point underdog, whatever, back home after that bad weekend, I think it's a pretty good spot to be in. I would think that we're going to get a pretty good version of the team here.
And there is, I think there's some speculation that Quinn Ewers might be available for this game. He's back at practice. He practiced with the Longhorns yesterday.
I've wondered about that just in terms of what the readiness is for that he's practicing. Certainly a good sign for them, but what's the readiness for him? Is he ready to take a hit? That would probably be the next angle there.
Because Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman, who's been on the show before, says, quote, "I've been told he'll be back far sooner than people expect."
Yeah, I saw that tweet too. And the Texas Tech quarterback news coming out of yesterday's media availability was that Baron Morton's going to take some reps with the ones this week. So it sounds like there doesn't sound like it's a, I don't know, maybe there is a smaller element of competition there. But it sounded like Donovan was going to get a few more reps than Baron Morton, but Morton sounds like they're getting him ready to go. And the intention is that both of them will play again.
How do you feel about this music choice?
What we got here?
It's the Red Dawn soundtrack.
Oh.
Tremendous. It's a really good movie.
Oh, it is. Sure it Tremendous. Is. I probably wouldn't have picked up on that as the song, though. I wouldn't have been able to ID that.
The Juice is next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's The Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com alongside Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. Time for some headlines brought to you by our very good friends at Specs Wine Spirits and Finer Foods. Two convenient locations here in town, 4th Street and the West Loop behind the Whataburger, and also Slide Road and 69th Street. All right, the Texas Rangers baseball team will be in action tonight. First pitch, 7:05. They are beginning a series at home against the LA Angels. Rangers coming off of a series loss to the Rays. 63-83 overall. 33 games back of the first place Houston Astros. Our pregame coverage will start for you at 6:30 here on Double T 97.3. Texas Tech will run out in front of a capacity crowd on Saturday, as it was announced today that Saturday's game between Texas Tech and the 19th-ranked Longhorns has reached sellout status. This means that Tech will play in front of a crowd of at least 60,000 fans at home for the first time since 2018. How about that? It's been a little bit.
Wow.
A fan was arrested for allegedly throwing a water bottle at Cleveland Browns owner Jimmy Haslam in the final moments of Sunday's loss to the New York Jets. Jeffrey Miller, 51 years old, was arrested Sunday on complaints of assault, failure to comply with a lawful order, and disorderly conduct. Browns are planning to ban him from returning to the stadium. How many jerseys do you think that he owns? He probably owns a lot of jerseys.
Oh, the owner?
No, well, he owns all the jerseys, dude? I guess. Yeah, Jeffrey Miller.
Yeah, that's good.
A
lot, yeah.
In the wake of Bleep the Mormons chants coming from the Oregon student section last Saturday during the Ducks' 41-20 win over BYU at Autzen Stadium, BYU issued a statement Monday thanking Oregon for its, quote, sincere apology and adding that this isolated behavior does not reflect the values of the University of Oregon. As one BYU official told ESPN on Monday night, it's not the first place we've heard things like that. A similar chant occurred last year when BYU went to play USC in Los Angeles and beat them 35-31. The Juice, brought to you by our friends at Specs Wine, Spirits, Finer Foods, 4th Street and the West Loop, also Slider Road and 69th Street, two convenient locations here in town. And the, funny's not the right word, but I guess the ironic thing about that behavior at Oregon is that the Ducks were hosting a young quarterback, in-state quarterback, a recruit. I think he's like a 2024 kid or 25. He's not ranked yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's a legit D1 quarterback. Anyways, happens to be a practicing member of the LDS faith. He left at halftime with his family. So, but probably didn't help their chances.
And if you're mentioning not ranked yet. If I'm remembering the story correctly, they offered him before he got to high school, so they're very high on him as a quarterback prospect.
Right. Yeah. And it'll be interesting. Hopefully that stuff doesn't happen, at these different new Big 12 locations, right, when the BYU visits. Plenty of other chants that you can say. Just seems like that's not necessarily a great one to single out.
Yeah, I agree. And the other side of that, BYU's on the other side of that, early, I guess in August when they hosted the Duke volleyball team, mm-hmm, and, allegations coming out that way. But yeah, I'm with you. There's nothing good that could come out of something like that. And, that probably sealed the deal for that young quarterback.
Well, because, Mike Leach was a member of,
right,
Sure. Didn't mean to go passive tense there, but, your former winningest coach. Right.
Not really.
Hopefully not very widespread when they begin playing Big 12 teams. You big conspiracy guy, Gus?
No, I'm easily not.
Not black helicopters?
No, I'm probably anti-conspiracy, but you try me. I don't know. There could be. May be a new frontier here.
I
don't know.
A development that happened, and this happened, I guess, over the weekend last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I'm curious if it has your kind of radar peaked. So we know that Brett Yormark has been touring Big 12 campuses, right? Mm-hmm. New Big 12 commissioner. He's been to Tech. He's been to TCU. All the current members. He's also begun to make the rounds at the incoming members. He was at BYU not that long ago. I think he's been at Houston. I know he's been at Cincinnati.
Yeah, because he had a big one of his quotes that really circulated widely was when he was at Cincinnati.
Well, he was scheduled to visit UCF yesterday, Monday, but that was postponed. The postponement came on Friday. Supposed to be there today, rescheduled or postponed. They haven't rescheduled it yet. Little odd.
What are you thinking there? What do you got in mind?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a...
I mean, maybe he has to meet some, you know, university president in the Mountain Time Zone.
That's where I thought. That's, you know, what I thought. And then you had the tail number on a plane that he was going to. He was going to Salt Lake City or something.
I don't think that he would be in the room necessarily for TV negotiations. I don't know how this stuff works.
At this point, it would seem like, yeah, I'm with you. At this point, it would seem like that's the sort of thing that could be exchanged by Zoom.
Because Bowlesby wasn't in that room, right? Like, you know, playing hardball with ESPN executives. I can't imagine that's a commissioner-level activity.
Yeah, at this point, for sure. Maybe at the point in which the deal's really getting down to the brass tacks and getting something done or finished or whatever, photo op type stuff, whatever. But, yeah, I'm with you. You would think this is still, high-level executives, but not the highest level grinding through stuff, details.
But I could see him having a meet with the university official. That seems like right up that job's alley. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
What else does he got going on? I mean, barring some kind of like doctor's appointment, you know, or whatever. Yeah. It's not like he's going to skip that to go to his kid's baseball game or something. I mean, there's nothing else.
Yeah, if you had a little more meat on the bone here, there might be there might be a little more of a conspiracy theory, just a mere postponement or something. I mean,
because it was postponed 3 or 4 days in advance, yeah. So it wasn't like he just was suddenly sick and, you know, under the weather. I can't go.
Well, it could have been. I mean, did he postpone, or it could have been UCF execs going, "Hey, we don't want you to be here when our president's got to be in Timbuktu that day."
No, I mean, that's a good point, and I don't think there'd be a lot of stuff. Yeah, UCF, but this was presented as if it came from the conference.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super quiet, everything around it, in a way that, you know, that it hadn't really gained momentum as a real theory yet, right? The helicopters aren't circling yet, right? Because
unless they're those like really cool stealth helicopters that barely make any noise,
maybe they're up there, or just
the Osama bin Laden,
or just the pigeons that we all know are government drones. Sure. Anyway,
the truth is out there. This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens.
That song shreds, by the way.
Taking care of business?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shreds?
Shreds. You go with slaps?
I mean, it's all right. I don't know that it's like...
You know what? You know what's sort of baked into me? It's, and I always liked the song back in the day, way back in the day. But that song is now played after Red Raider wins in baseball. It's not the immediate first song, but, you know, like for me, finishing up a broadcast, that's raging in the background.
So it has some sentimental...
Yeah.
Eh. Kind of...
But I always liked it a lot.
Associated.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a song on a cassette back in the day, back when, back high school me was driving around. Yeah, that and some Steve Miller Band, probably some early Doobies, Doobie Brothers.
Which Steve Miller Band?
Just so we're clear, early Doobie Brothers music through my cassette player. I don't know what an early Doobie would have been.
Early Doobie Wheat Strain. That's too easy.
Yeah,
no, I know. That's true. I was teeing that up for you two guys as you yawn your way through this show. hey, speaking of yawning, William Shatner, January in Lubbock. You in, dude?
I saw this.
Is this going to get you out of the house?
It's funny.
Come on, Clint.
You're the second person to bring this up to me. I got an email about it from Lovell actually on Sunday. So you know, I'm thinking about going for sure. I mean, because what it is as radio sits across the city, just click off. it's at the Buddy Holly Center, and you get to watch the movie, The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, arguably the best Star Trek movie that exists.
Okay.
Certainly up there in that top tier. I'll fight you if you think
and
otherwise.
And he'll be in the room,
and
right?
William Shatner will be there, presumably coming in afterward. I don't think he'll sit through the movie, and he'll answer some questions after.
Like, so he'll come on stage, and that'd be pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, it really is a unique way of doing it.
Sure. Yeah, I think tickets are like $80-something dollars.
Still once in a lifetime kind
of deal. So like if I hadn't just seen that movie re-released in theaters like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I'd be maybe a bit more gung-ho about it, but I probably might go.
Yeah, but just the I mean, and to me, I mean, it's in January.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm probably not buying you a Christmas present that leaps to the $80 level. No offense. Sorry, bro.
Wow, dude.
I've enjoyed
you're
the
not quite
show.
An $80 friend.
No, not yet. What's Amazon's return policy?
What's our price friendship right now? Are we like a $15?
I was thinking, I was going like 10 or less, you know, maybe some lunch or I don't know.
I'll take 10 or less.
Something kind of fun, you know. A little cactus toy or something. I don't know.
Hey, but Aaron, does the moderator get kicked out if they go, there's a question in the back? They're like, you're out of here. Yeah. We will have none of that.
It seemed like a good Christmas gift. That's all I was going to say. For AD.
So we're an $80 Christmas friend,
only for
though.
Me. Only for me.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
That's not a gift for me.
I hope his lovely bride is listening, going, "Ooh, there's an easy Christmas."
Well, no. So we talked about this because I was like, "Hey, did you know what? You know, Bill Shatner's going to be in town," and she's like, "All right, well, I'll go with you to that, but then you've got to go with me to a concert."
Yeah, she's dragging you out to some Ice Cube
or something. Yeah.
Well, but yeah, and then your response was, "No, just." Buy me the one ticket. It's fine. Yeah, I don't have to return.
Wouldn't be the first time that I've seen a Star Trek movie by myself.
Yeah, it's what we talked about. We were talking about we don't want the Red Raiders signing up to play the Longhorns at some jicky 2-for-1 deal in Austin or whatever. And that's what you're saying. Like, look, I don't want a return trip.
Yeah.
You're just saying, I want to be Ohio State. You can come with me on this deal. There will be no return trip. You'll pay her the guarantee and we'll call it good. Is that how that conversations go? That's what you're negotiating.
Maybe we'll just kind of let it die on the vine and not bring it back up.
But I think for you, I would think that I mean I would be happy for you that you would go see that if that happens. And I did hear that like it's like January 20 something whatever. Like they're not going to run the credit cards on the deal till like January 15th or something. I was told that was in the fine print. Meaning more like the guy's like 90.
Sure, no, he's in space.
Yeah,
that'd
be cool.
Yeah, no,
it'd be cool for you. I hope it happens.
I think it's cool that kind of stuff comes here.
I agree.
You know,
totally agree.
No cap. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Gus, Clint thought that "Fly Like an Eagle" was a Lenny Kravitz original.
I did think that when I was listening to the Space Jam soundtrack over and over and over again.
Man, that's
this was like yesterday. That you were doing that?
Yeah,
that's kind of vintage Steve Miller too. That wasn't just like something on a B-side back, you know. That was
this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from T-Money 806. What was the chant, AD, that Oregon fans were saying to BYU? Is it the same one that we say every time that we play UT? No, it was a bleep the Mormons or whatever. Man. Yeah, so I mean, here's a spoiler alert. There probably is a good chunk of folks that attend LDS services in Lubbock, in Manhattan, in Waco, and all over the place. And so you probably have some season ticket holders.
Oh, yeah.
At all these places.
Yep. Guarantee you there are here. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's two or three churches and a temple here, so no doubt about that. And like you said, a former head coach and tons of Texas Tech faculty and students, and that would not be a good look to have that going on at your place.
This on the EH Flooring Center chat line, y'all were talking about William Shatner, and I pull up to the drive-thru at a bank. with this in front of me. They sent a photo of a SUV, a white SUV with a bunch of Star Wars bumper stickers on the back. So totally not the same thing. So I don't know why you sent that in.
Well, yeah, he was one of those Jedi masters, right?
I might paint with that broad of a brush, but I can see where you would be offended. I understand.
Oh, I'm deeply offended.
I know. Yeah.
He was in Stargate, right?
Actually, that was a very good TV series for its time. The movie kind of, whatever, but the show, especially when it was on Showtime originally before it moved to Sci-Fi. John Canzano and John Wilner interviewed George Kliavkov, the commissioner of the Pac-12. And this is, I think, really his first extended public comments since Pac-12 Media Day back in July. Mm-hmm. So we're working on like almost 2 months here that he's been radio silent. Not just like a whole bunch of, breaking news out of this deal. Spoke for about 35 minutes, but he did say he was rather kind of absolute in stating that he didn't think that any Pac-12 programs would be joining the Big 12. Like he was like there was no wiggle room, there was no light,
no play with words or anything like that.
Do you believe him?
Well, I thought about that when I read it, and my immediate response was, I don't know how he could answer it any other way. If he answers it with any softness, any coy wording or whatever, he would get taken apart in one form or another, right? Everybody's going to dissect that, and so him speaking with anything less than certainty is I think it's just good leadership the way he answered that. I'm not certain that he's right, but he's got – there's no other way he could answer that, I think, as a leader and be okay there. I mean, because he presented the three scenarios, A, B, C, or Canzano's interpretation at least. I didn't see Wilner's, to be honest with you, but I saw Canzano's. But I think it's the same – obviously the same interview, same information source.
He also doesn't think that, and again, maybe this is along those same lines. What else is he going to say? Yeah. But he said he didn't think that Oregon or Washington would leave for the Big Ten, at least not anytime soon. He said, quote, listen, if schools would have left for the Big Ten, they would have left for the Big Ten already.
Mm-hmm. That's, there may be some truth to that. I can't believe that. For there to be truth to that as a truth in the near future, over the next 10 years, that could be true without money being stacked their direction.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We are joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your questions on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. We'll have coverage of the Texas Rangers coming up at 6:30 as they take on the LA Angels. First pitch from Globe Life Field, 7:05 p.m. High school fan zone yours at 7 o'clock on 100.7 The Score. Front Office Sports, Gus, is reporting this afternoon that the Pac-12 is, quote, hotly pursuing Amazon as a potential media rights partner. And I think that wording is notable. I'll read it again. The Pac-12 is hotly pursuing Amazon as a potential media rights partner. And I think that's notable, Gus, because, and this story points this out, normally it's the media entities that do the chasing, right? They're knocking down your door trying to sign your rights. But in this instance, it's the pack that is doing the chasing.
Yeah, and that I don't know that that's ideal. The you know, Canzano reported three prongs, three scenarios, if you will. Take a pile of money from a streaming service. Now, of course, there's a very pro, if you're new to this, if you're new to the Canzano Wellner reports, that if you as a listener are new to this, know that these are West Coast based writers. They do a very good job. They're the ones that broke the USC UCLA information. I think Wilner did.
Wilner did, yes.
Yeah, this is specifically for Canzano. But so their slanting is very much of a, you know, keep the Pac-12 together, selling the brand. Scenario A: take a pile of money. There, I'm quoting there, from a streaming service, knowing that you sacrifice distribution, meaning, as opposed to it being on ESPN or a traditional cable.
No eyeballs, lots of money.
Yeah, or less eyeballs. Yeah, sure. B, sign on full boat with ESPN for less money, but bask in the glow of the worldwide leader's propaganda machine, which again has a little tinge of sarcasm. And then C, some blend of both. What you're describing there would be scenario A.
Right. I mean, but if the pack is having to pursue Amazon, then I would wonder how big that quote pile of money would be, right? Would it be like the pallet of hundreds that Huell laid on in Breaking Bad, or would it be like the vault of golden coins that Scrooge McDuck swims through on DuckTales? I think there's a pretty big difference there between those two. Obviously, the Scrooge McDuck would be worth way, way more.
Yeah, that. I don't have a comment.
Did I throw you off with the DuckTales?
No doubt.
Life is like an airplane here in Duckburg.
I think the when it's you doing the pursuing, it makes it a little tougher in negotiations. You don't have much of a and I think you threw it to the break a moment ago with the idea that that Kliavkov, the Pac-12 commissioner, saying that anyone that was going to leave for the Big 10 would have done so already. I can't be sure that the door has been fully opened. We know that Washington and Oregon have had Oregon, we know it was reported that they have had an audience in Chicago with the Big 10.
Washington as well.
Yeah, Washington as well. That's right, because they came in a couple weeks later. You know, we're talking about most likely a very big gap in terms of what the Big Ten teams will be receiving for their media rights from what these Pac-12 teams. We don't know that for certain, I guess. We haven't seen the numbers on it, but I would think that, you know, if there's a noticeable, sizable gap, and I don't know what that would be, an eight-figure gap, $10, $20, $30 million gap would be hard for Oregon and Washington and anyone to really cling to and go, you know what, thanks, but we're going to stay here.
I wonder too if really the reason that nothing has happened yet, whether it's honest to goodness movement or, you know, some kind of announcement or indication, white smoke from a chimney somewhere, that hey, we're staying here in the pack, is because you don't have anything to compare it to right now, right? I mean, The pack has not finalized, as we just kind of discussed. They've not finalized their media deals. They don't know who their primary partner will be. They don't know if they'll be on ESPN or not. So they have no, there's no firm contract on the table saying, all right, folks, this is what we've got. We're getting paid X million dollars for our first and second tier rights. Because at that point, let's say it's 30, just for a number. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 30, then Oregon and UW can go to the Big Ten and say, listen, we know that you're not just like over the moon about the idea of adding us right now. That's fine. We get it. We don't bring as much to the table as USC does. Can you pay us 40 a year? Right? Can you give us a reduced payout now and just let us in? Because at that point, you're still making more than you did. You're making more than you were going to in the pack.
And you're very stable.
You're locked in with the Big Ten. And so your future is secure. You can figure out the money stuff later.
Right.
You can, hey, roll us in, right? Incremental steps over 20 years. I mean, what do you care? And that way it's over and done with. But until you have that kind of base level to work with, that final number from the pack, there's really no point in, negotiating.
Yeah, and it would feel like to me, there's a possibility that this reporting and floating this in the way that it is a way to try and perhaps draw out a little more money from ESPN. It's in the idea of going, sort of a shot across the bow at ESPN to go, hey, if you don't step up here, we're going to sign with Amazon. ESPN could then also, and this is where one advantage that the Big 12 might have is being next up in there, is to say, if ESPN passes on or gets passed by the Pac-12, that it opens a door for the Big 12 to move perhaps with expedience. Now,
well, and suddenly you have a bit more leverage because mm-hmm. ESPN can't kind of negotiate one against the other.
Mm-hmm. And there's speculation by Canzano in this article about he says a few have speculated that the conference may be more aggressive, moving to add a soon to be Big 12 member, or potentially targeting some Conference USA programs. I don't think there's any chance. I mean, this time last year, there was a lot of, other than BYU, which is very proximal and right down the street from Utah, the other speculation this time last year that we sort of dunked on was the idea of Houston as an ideal member of the Pac-12. Good luck with that.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
So we have two Power 5 vacancies already, and it's only September 20th. Nebraska and Arizona State. We've discussed before how there will be no shortage of candidates, of quality candidates, because of how the ceiling for this year's coaching vacancies is probably going to be a bit lower than it has been in the past, because Texas just opened 2 years ago. They're not going to fire Steve Sarkisian. Ohio State, Ryan Day's not going to go anywhere. Michigan, same with Jim Harbaugh. Penn State just re-upped James Franklin for 10 years and a bunch of money. Jimbo Fisher's locked in with the Aggies for a long time. LSU just opened. USC just opened. Oklahoma just opened, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Auburn will be a very prominent vacancy when that opens up, and Brian Harsin will not survive this season. Georgia Tech is going to open, but I don't know how attractive that job is. But I'm curious, you're going to have the Bill O'Brien types linked, and if he wants to move this offseason, these are the types of jobs he'll have to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Matt Campbell makes a move. Maybe Luke Fickell makes a move. David Aranda, I have my doubts. Leipold at Kansas will probably move. He can't get out of there fast enough, I'm sure.
Stuck like glue.
Just trolling you there, Clint. But what about Deion Sanders? Wow. Has he done enough at Jackson State to convince you that that his success there could translate to a Power 5 job? I mean, he's 18-5 at Jackson State. He was 4-3 in 2020, his first year there. They went 11-2 last year, 3-0 so far this year. I think they're just, crushing teams. I could be off on this. I'm not just super up-to-date on the FCS stuff. But I think if Jackson State, if their conference sent their champion to the playoffs, then they would have been very highly seeded. But I think that they send their champion to the Celebration Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't get to compete in the playoffs as a result.
What, his name circulated last year. What job was it?
TCU. He was listed prominently as a finalist.
That's right.
For that TCU job. I don't know if he ever interviewed.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah, that's exactly, because there was some media about that. Yeah, it'd be interesting. How much? I mean, the trouble with the Auburn job, we discussed this yesterday, is it may be athletic directorless. Who knows? But it would feel like Dion's appeal would be in the South. I mean, played at FSU. Big identity. I know he won a Super Bowl with the 49ers, right?
Yeah, and the Cowboys too.
That's right, because he moved. That's right, he moved with it. But it feels like his identity is in the South, other than the little bit in San Francisco. We're talking about, you know, heavy Falcons, heavy Cowboys. Has resided in DFW for a while. I mean, and for whatever reason, I don't have a great reason to say this. I'm not sure that he'd be a candidate. I just, in my mind, I see him as, I think he'd be at Auburn before he'd be at Nebraska, but I don't know that I can pin down a reason why.
I mean, if you can bring a five-star prospect, Travis Hunter, who hadn't been committed to Florida State, and arguably, I think even Rivals had him number one in the class, like the best prospect in the class. If you can recruit him to Jackson State, then you can recruit him to, you know, Lincoln, Nebraska, or Tempe, or Auburn, Alabama, really wherever.
I mean, that would be a fascinating hire. It really would.
They finished the season last year ranked 19th in the FCS coaches poll, but again, I would have liked to have seen what they could do in the playoffs.
Sometimes the former professional athlete, the one that, you know, the former professional star, it feels like those don't do well as collegiate coaches. And I think the part that gets underestimated there is not really understanding the amount of work that goes into recruiting, if I had to guess. You know, and one notable one was Clyde Drexler.
Sure,
when he was the head coach.
He crashed and burned.
Yeah, and again, it's my take on it that I'm not saying they don't, but my assumption has always been, and me just painting with a broad brush here, but my assumption is that in their mind, this is gonna. I'm Clyde Drexler. I can call the guy up and recruit. You know, this is gonna be easier then, and you know, because the name recognition. I was like, yeah, I think the recruiting deal goes a little deeper than that.
Well, especially when you're recruiting kids, mm-hmm. right? That were maybe 4 years old, right. But when you were, you know, at your heyday,
parents know who you
whereas
are.
Whereas Dion, yeah. I think, I mean, Dion transcends that.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the few that does.
The TV career is what's allowed him to transcend. Great player.
Like John Gruden, right? Mm-hmm. Before he came and coached the Raiders, right, he spent a long time in the booth, Monday Night mm-hmm. Football. And Tennessee folks, the Volunteers, they were lusting after John Gruden. And they never did get him, obviously. But I do think that had he chosen Tennessee and gone to coach there in any one of their, you know, umpteen different transitions since Phil Fulmer was fired, you know, he could have parlayed that into some success because, again, the name brand transcends. It's not because, oh, I remember watching, you know, the Bucks when you won the Super Bowl in like 2002 or whatever. It's because of their work on TV. More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. alongside Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'll have coverage of the Texas Rangers as they take on the LA Angels tonight, coming up at that time. First pitch from Globe Life Field, 7:05. We'd love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Michael from the Ranch says this: knowledgeable Florida State fan here. Arizona State is going to go after Mike Norvell. He has a history with that area. If he goes, then Deion Sanders is going to Florida State. Go Noles. That would be interesting. I mean, Norvell seems to maybe kind of have Florida State turning around, although they didn't have a great result. No, they beat Louisville, didn't they? Yeah, so they're doing okay. Arizona State would be, from a, you know, prestige standpoint, I would guess a step down from Florida State. FSU is a storied program, but it's also one that has pretty hefty expectations. And I think, I mean, there was some chatter that he might have been in trouble last year. So you wonder if he would kind of take the first opportunity to kind of reset his clock, go someplace where maybe he's more comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and isn't facing kind of expectations of, hey, you need to win the conference,
yeah,
like quickly.
Yeah, good point. Minus the very end of what you said, that kind of a Tommy Tuberville move, if he were to jump out of the FSU and take the ASU and sort of, like you said, reset clock, skip buyouts, firings, all that kind of stuff, and just get her on down the road.
They're 3-0 right now. They host Boston College on Saturday. Have to think they'll win that game. A dangerous proposition, but they'll be favored, certainly. And then they host Wake Forest, and Wake Forest is ranked. They've got a good quarterback. They're a well-coached team, but talent-wise, they don't just, you know, put the fear of God into you, so that's a winnable game. They do host Clemson. That'll be tough. They play at NC State. Going to be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
They play at Miami, which is ranked. But, I mean, Georgia Tech, that's a win. They host Louisiana Lafayette. Should win that game. We'll see what happens when they play Florida. I mean, Syracuse, I guess, looks more challenging now than it would have been, you would have thought, 3 weeks ago. But, I mean, they could win 8 games, man. They could win 8-9 games. And at that point, you're negotiating from a position of strength with ASU and maybe kind of ramp up your salary there.
Yep, and that'd be a big climb from where they've been recently. Not from peak Seminoles, but where they've been over the last
sure
handful of years.
Has Josh Young surprised you with what he's done so far? Is he maybe a little bit ahead of what you were expecting?
You know what surprised me? What surprised me about him is getting to see more of him now than I would have when he was in the minors. You know, you just really see highlights in the minors. Not that it wasn't available, but just I'm seeing more now.
Right.
The swing hasn't changed a ton since Tech. There's probably some subtle differences, but it's a bigger swing. He used to try to stay inside everything. In other words, a fastball, you know, middle of the plate, belt high, favorite pitch, and it felt like more often than not he would rather line that off the scoreboard in right center field or two hop the scoreboard or something than really get pull heavy and try to hit it over the into the cedar trees out there by the Fraser, you know, on that Fraser Pavilion parking lot. Now that swing feels like he's letting it eat, man. And so it's way too young to paint with he's striked out a lot. The other day he was at 16 strikeouts and no walks. He was heavy. He was much more of a, I think he had finished here with more walks than strikeouts. Now, part of that's just, you know, when you're really, really good, you can control things in that way. Usually the best, you know, it's a decent measure of some of the best hitters to come through here when you see a guy that's playing every day that has more walks and strikeouts, got pretty good command of what's going on. Josh is a little more free with the swing now. He's letting it eat. And so there are a few more swings and misses on breaking balls down and away, not because he can't hit them,
mm-hmm.
but just, you know, he's out there trying to go get that thing and hit it into the hit it into the seats, it feels like to me. And so, but, you know, there's also an adjustment and all that going on, but it feels like right now he's saying, hey, I'm going to go get these doubles and home runs, and he's done a bunch of that.
Love to get your thoughts and comments in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can also access that through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. Do you think that he will be a Vegas favorite? Not the favorite necessarily, but a favorite up there, top three or so, to win AL Rookie of the Year next year?
I would
especially
think so.
Now with this kind of sneak preview?
Yeah, I would think so. That has a bunch to do with it, because you watch him hit right now, you go, that guy could hit, you know, there could be 25, 30 home runs in there. That's if a lot of things go right, but, you know, I don't know how deep Vegas would go in terms of what would they do, give odds on maybe the top
probably
10, probably.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, I would be shocked if he's not, hopefully if his health hangs in there and everything else, I don't want to write a check he can't cash, and hopefully there's not another kind of weight room type injury or something like that. But he, if he's healthy, I would think he's the opening day third baseman for the Rangers, and I would think he's most certainly a candidate for Rookie of the Year honors. It'd be awesome.
Is it, to go back to what you just said about how, you know, he's yet to walk, right? 18 strikeouts, no walks.
Is that right?
Yeah. Is that unusual for a rookie? At what point does that kind of become a thing?
Yeah, if you put 30 home runs with it and a bunch of doubles and all that, it's in today's game, it's pretty common. But I was surprised when I saw it, because one thing he did here, and he took a lot of pitches, and I don't mean he took himself into holes and stuff here, but again, he probably was able to command the things around him a little bit better. Like, yeah, I can spit on that pitch because I can handle your whatever it is you've got going here. Whereas now there's a lot more first pitch swinging and airing it out and like I said, going and getting it with his early count swings and just some two strike chases and stuff. Some of that I think will settle in. But yeah, I am interested in what he'll be when you start to spread this out over 160 game season, and if he's playing in, 145 games next year and it's a full season. Is he a 100 strikeout guy at this pace? Definitely. But is there 30 home runs, 30 double? What are we talking about him as a player? And plus, I'm also interested in what he'll be like defensively. We talked about that, you and I did, a week or so ago. But he's,
any signs or any reason for concern so far in that department?
So far, so good. I've seen him make a couple plays. No, I wouldn't call him highlight reel, diving stops and stuff like that, but seen him go and cut balls off over at shortstop, charge stuff, throw in the run, do all the things that we saw him do here in a way that, he didn't seem to be like he would be a below average type third baseman by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's going to hold his own and be able to keep himself at that position, which is great for him and the Rangers. You start to put him with Lowe at one point had more hits than anybody since the All-Star game in the American League. Start to put that with Seager and Semien, and you go, hey, you know what? That's like, maybe not
we
having to worry.
Right,
yeah,
there.
Maybe not have to worry about the infield for a little while, hopefully.
We'll have the Rangers for you tonight here on Double T 97.3. They're taking on the Angels.
Speaking of baseball real quick, Mr. Judge sitting at 59 home runs. He's that's an any day now type deal. The next home run ties Babe Ruth, and the next one ties Maris. And him, the thought of Judge hitting two home runs in a game isn't like way out there. I mean, that could happen. So that'll be good. You got him sitting on that, and we got Pujols sitting two away from 700.
And Judge is clear cut AL MVP, right?
Yeah, that's a kind of a raging debate, and it's just sort of the advantage that Ohtani has being a two way guy. But he's among the top 5 or 10 hitters in the league, in the American League, top 5 or 10 pitchers in the American League. And so it's such a unique conversation. That'll be a vote that we're all sitting around and wait, whatever day that is, November 3rd, because that'll probably have some drama associated.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out DoubleT973.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.